Okay, good morning, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. Not sure if this works or doesn't work. Hello? Oh, okay. Makes it a little bit easier to hear me. Yeah, it's good? Okay. Okay, good morning. Welcome to the second installment of the Wednesday morning shiur. We're discussing women in Tanakh. And for those who weren't here last week, I guess my name is Ephraim Polakoff. I'm the rabbi at Beis Tefillah of Woodmere, the Edward Avenue Shul, and I also teach in DRS and SK. I don't remember if I mentioned that last week, but that's my claim to fame. So thank God I'm involved in good things, keep me busy. Last week we discussed a little bit of an introduction to women in Tanakh. And we also focused towards the end of the shiur on Chava with a little bit of a different, what I think was a different perspective that we're not all familiar with when talking about Chava. So I decided, at least for the time being, I'm not sure if it's going to carry over for all of the shiurim, but at least for the time being, I would like to focus on some of the underdogs. You know, some of the women who, you know, kind of have a bad rap, like Chava, you know, that we learned about last week, and perhaps try to find, you know, a kernel or something that we can learn from them, something that we can take out of their lives, you know, things that are not normally discussed or not commonly known. So this week I wanted to talk about Leah. If you think about Leah, you think about the four Imahos. So we have Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Those are obviously the four Imahos. And if I would ask you which of the four, you know, kind of has the worst reputation, or which of the four is the underdog, I think most of us would say Leah. Bilhah and Zilpah we don't know too much about. You know, we learn about them. They're the maidservants. They're the ones who were given to Yaakov as additional wives to have more children. They did mother the part of the Shiftei Ka, part of the Shvatim, obviously. Each one of them had two sons who became part of the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. So obviously they were important women. And Rachel, we know Rachel Imenu, Mama Rachel, everybody knows about Rachel Imenu. Leah, we don't know so much about. We have a few narratives in the Torah, we have a few descriptions in the Torah. They're not all that positive. So I want to study this morning a little bit about Leah, a little bit about Leah's life, and perhaps we'll gain some insight into who she was, what she stood for, what she represented, and what legacy she really left for Klal Yisrael. If you look at source number one, and the psukim, I'm going to go a little bit out of order, so you'll forgive me, but I'm doing it for a reason. But if you look at source number one, here's where we really see almost the desperation of Leah. You know, Leah has this reputation of being the second fiddle. She's the second fiddle to Rachel. She's not really the wife that Yaakov wanted to marry. He was duped. He was, you know, tricked into marrying her, but he wasn't really that interested in marrying her to begin with. And writes the Torah in source number one in Parshas Vayetze, Vayavo gam el Rachel, Vayehav gam es Rachel mi Leah. So afterwards, after Yaakov married Leah, was tricked into marrying Leah, he then, we know, worked it out with Lavan to then marry Rachel. And the Torah tells us that he loved Rachel more than Leah. Vayehav gam es Rachel mi Leah. He loved Rachel more than Leah. And that we're familiar with. Vayavod imo ot sheva shanim acheros. And he worked another 7 years to be able to marry Rachel. Vayar Hashem, the Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, ki senua Leah. Leah was hated. Very strong terminology. Vayar Hashem ki senua Leah. Leah was a hated wife. She was a hated woman. Vayiftach es rachma v'rachel akara. And therefore Hashem opened her womb, allowed her to have children, while Rachel remained in akara, remained barren. Leah gets pregnant, and she has her first child, in Pasuk Lamed Beis, v'tahar Leah v'telet bein v'tikra shemo Reuven. And we know she names that child Reuven, and it's so interesting to look at the names of the first three children that she has. She's the first aim, right? She's the first one to have these children. She has three children right off the bat. And what does she name them? She names the first one Reuven. Why? Ki amra ki ra Hashem be'ani ki ata yehevani ishi. She says, Hashem saw my affliction. Ra'a, Reuven from Ra'a. Hashem saw my affliction. Now my husband will love me. Now that I bore him a child, now my husband will love me. So sad. Right? Almost like desperation. Like she's desperate for Yaakov's love. The Torah just described that Yaakov loves Rachel more than Leah, describes Leah as a snua, as a hated wife. Leah has this child and she says, finally, maybe my husband will like me. It's so sad. The second one, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, V'tahar od v'tei lebein v'tomer, ki shama Hashem, ki snua anochi. Again, she has a second child and she says, Hashem heard that I was hated. I was a snua. V'yitin li gam ezeh, v'tikra shemo shima. So she names him Shimon, because Hashem was Shama. Hashem heard. Hashem heard that I was hated. Again, the second child she names because of this hatred. The third one. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, V'taharod v'tei lebein, v'tomer ata hapam yilaveh ishi elai. Now, maybe I have three children. Now maybe my husband will come to me. We know Chazal tell us that Yaakov loved Rachel more and he spent more time with Rachel. Of course, he spent time with all of his wives, but he spent more time with Rachel. And now Leah, while naming her third child, she says, maybe now my husband will come to me. He'll spend more time with me. Ki yaladati lo shlosh avanim. After all, I just bore him three sons. Alkein karashimo Levi. And that's why she named him Levi. So here we have in these five psukim or so, we have incredibly desperate picture of who Leah was and who she wasn't. The Pasuk describes that Yaakov had such a greater love for Rachel. The Pasuk describes that she was a hated wife. Not only that, but she named her first three sons because of these emotions. Now maybe my husband will love me. Now maybe my husband will spend more time with me. Now God heard that I was the hated wife and therefore he granted me these sons. Such a sad, desperate picture of what Leah was. And I think this is the picture that most of us grow up with and retain for much of our lives. We have this picture of Leah as the hated wife. She's the second fiddle. She's the one that Yaakov was duped into marrying her, so he was stuck. He wasn't going to divorce her. He was stuck marrying her, so she became one of the Imahos. It's such a sad picture. Not only that, but as the Mefarshim explain these psukim, they almost make it even stronger. The Pasuk says, we read the Pasuk in Pasuk Lamed, Vayehav Gam Es Rachel. So the language seems to be a little bit repetitive. Vayehav Gam Es Rachel, he also loved Rachel. Just say, he loved Rachel. Why does the Torah say the word Gam? He also loved Rachel. So the Ramban explains that naturally, if you look at source number 2, he explains that naturally, a man has a greater connection. In those days, when people, when men had more than one wife, so which wife was he closest with? Writes the Ramban, naturally he would be closest with the first wife. The one that he connected with first, the one that he had that relationship with first, he's going to be closest with that wife. Other wives will come along, he'll have relationships with them, right? He'll certainly be close with them, but he won't be as close with them as he will with the first wife. Writes the Ramban towards the end of that second source, Ki hateva le'ehov yoser ha'isha she'yada ha'adam barishona. Naturally, a person feels more connected to the woman that he knew in the beginning, to the woman that he knew first, to the wife that he married first. So here, writes the Ramban, his greater love for Rachel was unnatural. Rachel was the second wife. Now it's true, if you read the narrative in the Torah, he met Rachel first, but the initial meeting wasn't of much substance. He met her at the well, there wasn't much conversation even at that meeting. And then she ran home to tell her father that he was there. We don't find that they dated for months and they had a close relationship or anything like that. We don't find that. So although he may have met her first, but he married Leah first. So the Ramban says that really he should feel closer to Leah. He should feel a greater love for Leah. And yet, Vayehav Gamis Rachel, the Torah is teaching us that unnaturally, Yaakov had a stronger love for Rachel. Not only that, but the Or HaChaim points out the same thing in source number 3, that an additional unnatural aspect of this love was that, writes the Or HaChaim, very often when we spend more and more time with someone, sometimes that initial passion kind of fades. The initial love, the initial passion, of course a deeper love takes its place, but sometimes when we spend more time with people, we get used to them and everything becomes sometimes a little bit too comfortable. So writes the Or HaChaim, almost like distance makes the heart grow fonder. So writes the Or HaChaim, that here also, because he spent more time with Rachel, says the Or HaChaim, it would make sense that he would love Leah more. That would be natural. Writes the Or HaChaim in source number 3, Ki Hateva, and I'm reading where it's underlined, Kifi hateva ha-hasnada him-it ha-tamit ha-ahava. According to nature, the more a person is engaged with someone, the more a person is subject to them, the less ahava, the less love there will be. Skipping towards the end of that line, v'ha-arthaka tolid ha-tava. And again, distance makes the heart grow fonder. When there's a certain amount of distance, a healthy amount of distance, obviously too much distance is not good, but a healthy amount of distance, that increases the love. That increases the love. And writes, skipping to the end of the line where it's underlined, he writes, Vayavo gam el Rachel betosefes kvius ve'afal pichein gam ahavosa. Even though he was with Rachel more, even though he spent more time with him, and you would think naturally that he wouldn't feel as connected to Rachel, Leah would be a little bit more, you know, a little bit more novel, something that, you know, a woman that he doesn't spend as much time with. Maybe he would be more excited to spend time with her. He would be looking forward more to spending time with her. Writes the Or HaChaim, but we find that's not the case. Vayehav gam es Rachel. Despite these factors, despite the fact that it was unnatural, writes the Or HaChaim, he still felt that incredible love for Leah. If you look at the wording of the pasuk, Vayehav gam es Rachel mi Leah. So the simple understanding of mi Leah is that he loved Rachel more than Leah. That's the simple understanding. But the Kli Yakar has a fascinating insight, which is also very psychologically oriented. The Kli Yakar writes that mi Leah doesn't just mean that he loved Rachel more than Leah, but it actually means that he loved Rachel more because of Leah. Mi Leah from Leah, because of Leah. Why did he love Rachel more because of Leah? So writes the Kli Yakar that very often when we see two things in contrast, it brings out the contrast of the item more to us. And if you look at the Kli Yakar in source number 4, he writes, "Ein nikar from the beginning, ein nikar ezo mala arasher roin haheder veroin ze keneged ze." When do we truly appreciate something? When do we truly appreciate a benefit? When we lose it. And we all know that when we lose something, that's when we truly appreciate it. And until we lose it, we take it for granted. We lose it, we see the opposite, that's when we feel it. That's when we really appreciate that which we have. Azni Rabbi Yosef Yisron Achachma VeHaor, and he writes the same thing with Yaakov. Kach Yaakov Hayaoev Es Rachel Mitzar Atzma. Number one, Yaakov loved Rachel in her own right. He loved Rachel because she was Rachel. But also V'Nosaf Alav Azu. But in addition to the natural, normal love that he loved Rachel, in addition to that, he loved Rachel. Why? Od Hosif Ba'Ahava Mitzad Leah. He loved her because of the contrast with Leah. Shocking. That's what the Kli Yakar writes. Ki ra zu keneged zu. He saw Rachel and Leah together. He contrasted them. V'nigle b'yoser yisrona shel Rachel. And the more he saw them, the more convinced he was of how special Rachel was. And by definition, by default, how unhappy he was, the fact that he was forced to marry Leah, so to speak. Zeshenemar gam vayehav gam es Rachel. And he goes on to explain that that's the men, Vayehav gam es Rachel mi Leah, because of Leah. Because of that contrast, once he saw Rachel and Leah together, it emphasized for him all of the special qualities of Rachel, and therefore his love for Rachel just increased and increased, and he thought to himself, the way it sounds right now, okay, I'm stuck with Leah, what am I going to do? But that's the picture that's being painted here for us, by the Psukim, by the Mefarshim, that Leah was this second fiddle. To a really great extent, Leah was the second fiddle. Now, what was so special about Rachel? I don't want to talk too much about Rachel. There's a lot of literature about Rachel. But just to mention very briefly a couple of things that we see just from these psukim, from the Mefarshim here. So what was so special about her? We know she was a wonderful, wonderful woman. But here the Sforno writes that that what was so special about her was that she wasn't just a woman who did good deeds, but the good deeds framed who she was as a person. If you look towards the end of the Sforno in source number 5, he writes, "Why did he love Rachel? Bishvil ma'aseha hanim shachim litzurasa ha'ishiyis." Her actions framed who she was. She was a person. She wasn't just a person who did chesed. She was a balas chesed. She wasn't just a woman who acted with a level of tzniyus. She became a tzanua. Everything that she did affected who she was. She became all those good actions that Yaakov saw in her, they weren't just actions, they weren't just independent things, but they actually became part of who she was. That's what was so special about Rachel. The Kli Yakar adds, interestingly, and this is a famous part of the episode with Rachel and Leah, that we know that Yaakov didn't really trust Lavan. When they made that original deal, Yaakov didn't really trust him. He knew he was a trickster. He had a reputation for being dishonest. He didn't really trust him. So what did Yaakov and Rachel do? They made signs. We're familiar with this. They made signs, and Yaakov told Rachel, listen, I'm nervous that your father's going to do something. He's going to play some kind of trick. He's going to stick somebody else up there. So I'm going to give you a certain sign, and under the chuppah, I want you to make that sign, and therefore I'll know that, that you're really the one. And what happened, we know, Chazal tell us, as soon as Lavan told his daughters, this is not going to happen. Instead, Leah's going to get married to Yaakov and not you, Rachel. So what did Rachel do? She gave the signs to Leah. We know that she gave the signs to Leah because she was nervous that Leah would be embarrassed. She would be standing under the chuppah. She wouldn't have the signs. Yaakov would get furious. He would storm off of the from under the chuppah, and it would be terribly embarrassing for Leah. So therefore, she gave her the signs. So writes the Kli Yakar, that's part of what he saw, that this increased love for Rachel, when he saw that Rachel gave her the signs, that just reinforced his love for Rachel. He saw how much of a tzaddikah she was. If you look at source number 6, v'yesh omrim shetosefes avazu nimshach mileya ba'avor shemasra simanah aleleya. It's because he gave her those signs. Because he gave her those signs, that's what increased the love. That's what increased his passion for her. He saw how great she was. He saw what a tzaddikah she was. V'davar zeh chashav lalitzdaka. What a balas tzedakah, someone who gives up her life's dream, right, to marry this guy. Presumably at that time, she recognized how great he was. She wanted to marry him, and yet she gave it all up just so that her sister wouldn't be embarrassed. And we know, Chazal talk about the power of the giving of these simanim, that what went down in history, that this zechus remained for Rachel for eternity, that she gave her sister the signs. But Yaakov saw that, and it just increased his love for her. So we see a tremendous, tremendous love that Yaakov had for Rachel. Now, why did he hate Leah? The Pesukim described that Yaakov, she was a snua. Yaakov hated her. Why did he hate Leah? Well, what was so bad about Leah? He met Leah. She seems like a wonderful woman. What was so bad about her? So a couple of fascinating midrashim here. Number one, the Medrash Rabbah, the Brachos Rabbah in source number 7 writes that originally everyone was kind of sneering at Leah. What were they sneering about? Because Leah, after all, how did she get into this marriage with Yaakov? Through trickery. She tricked her way in. Now, granted, it wasn't her idea. Lavan was the one behind it. But she went along with it. She went along with it. So writes the Medrash Rabbah, V'hayu in source number 7, V'hayu akol sontimba. Everyone was sneering at her. They were scoffing at her. She makes like she's a tzadekes. She walks around like she's a righteous woman. That's not really what's going on inside of her. She's not really that righteous. She's not really a tzadekes. Nire tzadekes ve'en a tzadekes. She appears like she's a tzadekes, but she's really not. Ilu haisa tzadekes lo haisa mirama ba'achosa. If she was such a tzadekes, she would have put her foot down. She wouldn't have tricked her way into this marriage. She wouldn't have taken Rachel's place if she was such a tzaddikas. So people were saying, she's not really such a tzaddikas. She makes, she davens a long Shmon Esrei. She davens a long Shmon Esrei, but she's not really such a tzaddikas. Rab Chanin b'shem Rab Shmuel bar Rab Yitzchak Amar, not only were other people sneering at her, but Yaakov himself was very put off by this. Kevan shera Yaakov avinu ma'asim shirim aleya ba'achosa. Nasan daito lagarsha. So the Medrash says that Yaakov was so disturbed by this. And remember, what's Yaakov's midah? Emes liyakov. Yaakov's all about truth. Yaakov's all about, being truthful, being transparent. And here, she tricks him, she tricks her way into the marriage, even though it was Lavan's idea, but she didn't put her foot down, she didn't run away. She just came right in and just supplanted Rachel's spot. Well, what's that all about? Yaakov was furious. And the Medrash said he wanted to divorce her. Now we'll see in a couple of minutes why he didn't divorce her. Because he didn't. He obviously kept her on as a wife. But this bothered Yaakov so much. This was part of the reason why he was turned off to her. She was a snua, because he saw how she came in. I can't believe it. She tricked her way in. It's not just that people are saying that she wasn't really such a tzaddikas. But she tricked her way into this marriage? How could it be? I can't marry a woman like that. I can't live my life. I can't build Klal Yisrael with a woman like this who tricks her way into a marriage. Not only that, but the Baal HaTurim describes that Yaakov actually suspected her. It wasn't just that he was put off by her dishonesty, but he actually suspected her. And if you look at source number 8, the Torah tells us in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, which we read, Vayar Hashem ki snua, that Hashem saw that she was hated. So right, the Baal HaTurim, always with the creative gematrias and Rashi Tevos and things like that, the Baal HaTurim writes, Sofei Tevos Eheye, that not the Rashi Tevos, not the first letters of these four words, but the end letters of these four words, Vayar Hashem ki snua, Aleph, Hey, Yud, Hey, Eheyeh. What's Eheyeh? One of the names of God. So why do we have a hint to one of the names of God here? Writes the Baal HaTurim. Lefi shechashda Yaakov. Yaakov suspected suspected Leah, I'm sorry. He was suspicious of her. Why was he suspicious of her? Kimoshi ifkira atzmolo, kach ifkira atzmolo acher. She sneaks around. She snuck around to get into this marriage. Maybe she'll sneak around to get out of this marriage. Maybe she'll sneak into a different marriage. I can't trust a woman like this. I can't be married to a woman like this. So he was very suspicious about her. He was very suspicious. He was very nervous that maybe she's unfaithful. She sneaks. She's a trickster. Lekach heyid HaKadosh Baruch Hu shmo alehu. That's why Vayar Hashem ki snua sofei tevos eheyeh. Hashem placed his name here because Hashem was almost testifying she's okay. Hashem was almost testifying that she's okay. We'll see in a couple of minutes why. That is the general approach and the general, I think, mentality that we have when it comes to Leah. You know, we view her as the second fiddle. We view her as the hated wife. Why did he love Rachel more? Perhaps for these reasons. Perhaps for other reasons. You know, why was he so put off by Leah? Perhaps because of the trickery. He didn't trust her. And again, it almost was like grinding against his nature. His whole nature was emes. He was an ish emes, and this was something that was so disturbing to him. And that's why she was snua, and she named all of her children after these emotions. She was snua, she felt like the second fiddle. Well, is there more here to this story about Leah? You know, is she just the second fiddle? That's how the story ends. She's the second fiddle, she's the hated wife, and that's it, and that's how she goes down in eternity? We see that's not really the case. If you look at the Radak, and this is what most of the Mefarshim say, that when the Torah says, Vayar Hashem ki snua Leah, they say it doesn't really mean, most of the Mefarshim say this, the Radak points this out as well, that it doesn't really mean that she was hated. It doesn't mean she was hated. That could be that Yaakov, you know, was a little bit suspicious. It could be that the dishonesty bothered him a little bit, but it didn't really come to the point of hatred. So why does the Torah describe that she was a snua? So one of the approaches in the Mefarshim is that she was a snua relative to Rachel. It's not that he actually hated her. But relative to his intense love for Rachel, it came across like she was the hated wife. Not that she was actually hated, he loved her. He loved her. But just since he loved Rachel so much more, the contrast made it seem like she was hated. If you look at the Radak in source number 9, Vayehav gam es Rachel mileah lehodia ki gam leah ahav. The Torah says, Vayehav gam es Rachel. Gam es Rachel means he also loved Rachel, which means he loved Leah also. He loved Leah and he loved Rachel. Afa pishalo bachar b'mitchilo l'isha, even though he didn't select her originally. Originally he wanted to marry Rachel. Nevertheless, kevan shenasalo afa pishalo haya bekavana. Once he married her, even though it was unintentional, he never intended to marry her, but once he married her, ahava kimosha adam ohevishta. He loved her just like anybody loves their wife. Aval yoser ahav Rachel. What the Torah really is trying to convey to us is that he loved Rachel more. So here we have already a little bit of a mitigating perush, a little bit of a mitigating understanding that it's not that she was really hated. It was just really the contrast. That's what was going on here. That's why we have this perspective that she was the hated wife. It's because of the contrast in how Yaakov approached Rachel and how he approached Leah. He loved Leah just like a person loves his wife. But Rachel occupied a special place. Rachel had a certain love that was a little bit abnormal. And that abnormal, intense love that Yaakov had for Rachel made it seem relative to Rachel, that Leah was the hated wife. Let's try to understand a little bit about Leah and what Leah was all about. I think very often if you want to understand the character in Tanakh, so one of the ways of doing it is looking at the beginning when they're first introduced to us and seeing how the Torah describes them. And the Torah describes Rachel and Leah in a very, very interesting way when they're first introduced. If you look at source number 10, these are psukim also in Parshas Vayetze. This is in a little bit earlier in Perek Chaf Tes. So we started with some of the later psukim, but now we're backtracking a little bit to see how Rachel and Leah are introduced to us. So if you look at source number 10, the Torah teaches us, Ulavan Shtevanos. Lavan had two daughters. Shema Gedola Leah v'Shema Ketana Rachel. The oldest one was Leah, and the youngest one was Rachel. So that's point number one. Point number one is that Rachel was the Bechora. Leah was the Bechora. Leah was the older daughter. She was the older sister. Rachel was the younger sister. That's point number one. We'll come back to it. Pasuk Yud Zayin. The Eine Leah Rakos. And this pasuk is famous. We all know this pasuk. The Eine Leah Rakos. And the eyes of Leah were soft. The Rachel Haisa Yifas Toar Yifas Mareh. And Rachel was beautiful. Rachel was stunning. Rachel was beautiful. Leah, she had soft eyes. This is the first description, the first contrast that we have before Yaakov even meets them. Right before, he met Rachel, but he didn't meet Leah. That's it. Leah, Eine Leah Rakos. It seems almost like it's a discussion of a physical appearance. Rachel was gorgeous. Rachel was beautiful. Leah was soft eyes. Whatever that means, soft eyes. What does soft eyes mean? So we all know Rashi. What does Rashi tell us? So Rashi tells us right there on the spot, in source number 11, why were her eyes soft? Because she wept. She was a crier. She cried a lot. Why did she cry a lot? Writes Rashi in source number 11, Shehaisa Sivura Lalos Begorolo Shel Esav. Because she thought, she's the older sister, who's she going to marry? Esav. That's not such a good shidduch. Right? She thought she was going to marry Esav. So what was her response? Ubocha. So she cried. Shehayu hakol omrim. And it wasn't just her. Everybody was saying this. This was the talk of the town. Shnei banim l'Rivka, u'shnei banos l'Lavan. Perfect. Rivka has two sons. Lavan has two daughters. Right? Bada bing, bada boom. Here we have two shiduchim. Great. Hagedola l'gadol v'aktana l'katan. Makes a lot of sense. Right? The older daughter goes to the older one, and the younger daughter goes to the younger one. Right? Not like me and my brother-in-law, I'm the older one, but I marry the younger daughter. Not like that. Love, right? The older daughter to the older son, the younger daughter to the younger son. That's what everybody was saying. It makes sense. This makes sense. Not only did it make sense, but the Medrash actually in the Tanchuma, in source number 12, adds a little bit here. It wasn't just that people were saying this. It wasn't just that it made sense. Okay? But rather, if you look towards in the middle, where it's underlined in source number 12, Shalchu igros elu le'elu v'hisnu b'nehem. The families were arranging this marriage. It wasn't just people were talking, hey, look at this, right? Cousins, Leah and Rachel, Esav and Yaakov. It wasn't just people were talking. The families were talking. They were arranging the marriage already. Perfect. Right? Rivka and Lavan were on the phone. You know, maybe, I don't know, straight out of the delivery room. They were on the phone and they were already arranging things. Esav will marry Leah, Rachel will marry Yaakov will marry Rachel. Perfect, it's beautiful. They were sending letters, they were corresponding about this. This was a shidduch that was already destined to happen. It was an arranged marriage. People were talking, but it was more than that. The families were arranging it. By the way, if you look at the beginning of source number 12, what does the Medrash tell us? That it wasn't that Leah was unattractive. If you look where it's underlined in the first line, the Medrash writes, Ela Shehaisa Yafa Kerachel. Leah was just as beautiful as Rachel. This wasn't a beauty issue. Right? This wasn't something that Rachel was beautiful and Leah wasn't. Leah was just as beautiful as Rachel. In fact, the Medrash proves it because the Torah tells us, Lavan Shtevanos, Lavan had two daughters, Shavos Benoyu Biyofiyu Biskifa. They were the same. In terms of appearance, they were just, they were the same. They were both attractive. They were both beautiful. That description of Yifas Torah, Yifas Mara, which, by the way, doesn't only mean physical beauty, but also means internal beauty as well, a certain harmony and a certain combination of the two. But that beauty didn't only exist with Rachel. That beauty was Leah also. Leah was beautiful also. Eineha Rakos. Her eyes were soft. Because she was crying. She was crying. She didn't want to marry Esav. And in fact, the Medrash says that she found out, she heard, she wanted to know, you know, this was an arranged marriage. She heard she was going to marry this guy Esav, so she starts making phone calls. She wants to do a little research. You know, what's with this guy? How does he learn in the Beis Medrash? You know, what are the questions they ask? What kind of tablecloth do they use on Shabbos? Right? Those are all the big questions. Just kidding. Right? But she was calling up. She wanted to find out about Esav. What's he like? Right? Is he a Balmidos? Is he a Mensch? You know, she wanted to find out about him. And what did she find out? If you look at the second to last line in source number 12, she was asking around, you know, what's Esav like? People would say, you know, he's not such a mensch. He doesn't hold the door open for you. Yeah, he's not such a mensch. He's not such a great guy. Oh, she was terrified. Excuse me. She said, "This is my lot. How terrible! Woe to me!" So she spent her days crying because she was destined to marry Esav. If you turn to source number 13, we're not going to read it inside. But source number 13 is the Gemara in Bava Basra, which says the same thing, that she was doing some research and she was asking about Esav. But not only was she asking about Esav, she was asking about the younger brother also. And so she was calling up and she was saying, well, you know, what's Esav like? And they said, you know, he's not really such a great guy. And what about the younger one? Oh, the younger one. He's a tzaddik. Ish tam Yosef o'alim. He's the best one in the Beis Medrash. All the Rebbeim want him for their daughters. He's the best one. How did that make her feel? Oh, dagger in the heart. Here, that one's going to my sister. I'm getting this prize. Right? I'm getting the redhead. And this one's going to my sister. She was beside herself. The Gemara actually says that she was crying so much that her eyelashes fell out. That's how much she was crying. This was constant. That's why Eineha Rakos. It wasn't just a one-time thing. Excuse me. She was crying all the time because of her lot. It was so terrible. Very interesting. You know, we find that the Pasuk describes her as a snua. So we said earlier that many of the Mefarshim explained that she was a snua, not that she was hated per se, but that relative to the intense love that Yaakov had for Rachel, she was considered a snua. The Gemara here has a very interesting perspective on the word snua. And the Gemara says that the reason why she was called a snua wasn't really because of her. In fact, the Gemara says that very often the Torah is so careful how it describes things. It doesn't describe them in a negative way. It describes the animals that are not kosher as the Eina Tahora. It describes things in a very positive way, not a negative way. The Torah doesn't like to talk negatively. So how can we describe her as a, excuse me, how can we describe her as a snua? That's a terribly negative adjective. So writes the Gemara, it's not referring to her. At the very end of source number 13, where it's underlined, Ela ra hakadosh baruch hu shesnuin maasei Esav bifanah. Vayiftach esrach. He called her, the Torah refers to her as a snua, not because she was hated, because she hated the maasim of Esav. She hated Esav's reputation. That's why she's referred to as a snua. Because she hated, not that she was hated, writes the Gemara. It's because she disliked, she was so put off by Esav and all that he stood for. So we find already that this is not so bad. You know, that Leah is not such a bad woman, right? She was very upset. She didn't want to marry Esav. This is how she's defined, right? At the very beginning, when the Torah introduces her, this is how she's defined. She's the oldest, and then the Torah says, "Eineha Rakos." She was crying because she didn't want to marry Esav. That's her definition. That sounds pretty good, right? As the Gemara says, "She snew in Masa Esav b'fanah." That sounds like it's a shvach. The Gemara says this was in praise of Leah. This was something positive. She was great. How did she end up not marrying Esav, by the way? If she was destined to marry Esav, that's what, not only as we saw, the Chazal tell us, not only were people talking about it, but the family's actually arranged the marriage already. So how did she get out of it? So the Medrash tells us through Tefillah. If you look at source number 14, the Medrash says at the end of the first line there, V'haisa bocha ve'omeres yihiratzon shalo epo begorol shalashal rasha. She was davening. So it wasn't just crying. She was crying and she was davening. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't let me marry this guy. Amar Rav Huna says, what do you see from here? Kashe hi hatfila. You see how powerful tefillah is. Shebagla es hagzera, number one, it totally uprooted the decree. She was destined to marry Esav. It was only uprooted because of her tefillah. Not only that, v'lo'od, ela shekadma la'achosa. Not only did the tefillah work that she would marry Yaakov, but she married him first. She was the first wife. So you see the power of tefillah, just as an aside, right? An incredible medrash. The power of tefillah here, that someone's destined, and the family already made it up. It was an arranged marriage. That's what everybody was talking about. And it sounds from the medrash that it wasn't just the family arranged it, but this was a gzeira. This was destined from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem wanted this shidduch. for whatever reason, maybe to make Esav better. Hashem wanted this shidduch. And we see that the power of tefillah, Leah said, I'm not doing it. I'm not interested. Snuim ma'asei Esav b'faneha. She hated Esav. She hated all that he stood for. I'm not interested in this shidduch. And she davened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened. And not only did he listen, but she actually became the first wife. The power of tefillah. Now, if we think about it, not only was she a tzaddik, as we see that she really just, you know, had no stomach for Esav, but if you think about her legacy, you think about Jewish history, you think down the line, which of the two wives occupies a more prominent place for eternity? Rachel's the more popular wife. Rachel's the one that we hear about more in the Torah. Rachel's the one who was the loved wife. But who's the one who occupies more of a prime place for eternity? That's Leah. If you look at source number 15, very interesting Gemara. The Gemara points out, Mamre Kiryas Arba. We call Kiryas Arba, right? We call it even today, Kiryat Arba. Right? Why do we call where Maharas HaMachpelah is Kiryas Arba? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Kiryas HaArba Zugos. Because there are four pairs of people buried in Maharas HaMachpelah. Who are those people? Adam Achava, Avram Vesara, Yitzchak Verivka, Yaakov Ve, Leah. Of his four wives, who was the only one buried with him? The only one buried in Maharas HaMachpelah? Leah. That's something significant. That's not just coincidence. That's not just happenstance. Why was Leah the one buried with him? If he loved Rachel so much, the intense love was towards Rachel. Rachel was the choice wife. So why was Leah buried next to Yaakov in Maharas HaMachpelah? And where's Rachel? Some road somewhere. Parshas Drachim. Beis Lecha. You can't even visit there so easily nowadays, unfortunately. Why? Why is that? Not only that, but if you think about it, if you just think about the numbers, we had 12 Shvatim. Who had half of them? Leah. Rachel, 2. Right? Barely. She barely had 2. But she had 2. Zilpah, Bilhah and Zilpah, 2 each. Leah, 3 times any of the other women. 6 of the Shiftei Ka came from Leah. That also tells you something. Leah was the one who bore half of the Shiftei Ka. Half of Klal Yisrael came from Leah. Not only half of Klal Yisrael, but if you think about the part of Klal Yisrael that remains today, where are we from? Mostly from Leah. Not only that, but you think about the Kahuna. Where does the Kahuna come from? Shevet Levi. Where does the Bechorah come from? Who was the firstborn? Reuven came from Leah. The Levium, the Kohanim, the Levium came from Leah. Malchus Beis David, the kingdom of the Jewish people, came from who? Yehuda came from Leah. Nevuah, the greatest Navi of all time, Moshe Rabbeinu, came from who? Shevet Levi, came from Leah. We find that Leah occupies for eternity, maybe not right now, when all this is going on, but for eternity, Leah occupies such a prominent place. So why is that? Why is it that although Rachel was the beloved wife during their lifetime, and Leah struggled so, the first 3 children she named after her struggles, why was it that specifically Leah occupies this important place? Not only that, but if you look at source number 16, at the very end of Yaakov's life in Parshas Vayechi, the Torah tells us, Vayishtachu Yisrael al Rosh Hamita. Yisrael bowed, referring to Yaakov. Yaakov bowed towards the head of the bed. So literally the head of the bed means he bowed towards the head of the bed. But Chazal here in Bereishis Rabbah understand that it's not just the head of the bed. But he actually, if you look towards the end of that medrash, Mihaya Rosh Mitaso Shel Avinu Yaakov, Lo Leah. Who was the Rosh Mitaso? Who was the head of his bed? Who was the head of his family? Who was the one who brought 6 Shvatim into this world? Turned out to be Leah. And Yaakov himself recognized that at the end of his life. Perhaps during his lifetime he didn't recognize it as much. He still was focused on Rachel. But at the end of his life, even Yaakov came to recognize that as much as he loved Rachel, as much as he saw wonderful qualities in Rachel, and they were, he wasn't duped. Rachel was an incredible tzaddikus. But there was something special about Leah that he had missed. And then he recognized it at the end. And she was the one who was Rosh Hamita. She was the one who was the head of the family. She was really the matriarch who was the head of the family, who really built the majority of Klal Yisrael. And the power of Klal Yisrael for eternity. That was Leah. So where does it come from? So I want to take a look at the very intriguing story, the one intriguing story, I shouldn't say the one, but one of the most intriguing stories surrounding Leah, and that's with the Dudaim. Many of you are familiar with the story of the Dudaim, very strange story. So if you look at source number 17, I brought some of the psukim here, we'll just run through them quickly. Reuven goes at the time of the wheat harvest, and he finds these Dudaim basadeh, translated by some of the commentaries, the English, you know, translated into English as mandrakes, if that helps anyone, didn't help me. But, you know, a certain type of flower, Dudaim basadeh. He found a certain type of flower, which was a special flower, a special herb. And he brings them to Leah, his mother. And Rachel sees this, she sees Reuven bringing these Dudaim, bringing these herbs, these flowers, these special plants, bringing them to Leah, and she says, you know what, I would like some of those. Rachel says to Leah, I would like some of those Dudaim. Leah doesn't take kindly to this. Leah responds, first you take my husband, and now you want to take my Dudaim? So Rachel says, I'll make you a deal. Tonight is my night to be with Yaakov. I'll give you Yaakov for tonight if you give me the Dudaim. Leah says, you got it. It's a deal. Yaakov comes home after his day's work, out in the field. Leah comes out to greet him and she says, I know tonight you're supposed to go to Rachel, but you're coming to me because I made an arrangement. I made a deal with Rachel. And that night, Yaakov spent with Leah. And what was the result of this? A fifth son. The result of this was a fifth son. Very interesting story, very perplexing story. Now, Rashi here points out that Rachel is actually punished for this. Rachel was punished for this, because what did she do? She gave up her night with Yaakov for these Dudaim. And it's not so clear, you know, what were these Dudaim at all? You know, what was the whole point of these Dudaim? Some of the Mefarshim describe that they had a certain power to help a woman get pregnant. So it was actually for Rachel. Rachel at that time did not have any children, and they perhaps had some sort of, they were some sort of conceptive help. She thought that if she would have these Dudaim, it would help her get pregnant. That's how some explain. Some explained that they smelled nice, she wanted to perfume the room to attract Yaakov. And some say that they were just nice flowers she wanted to play with. They smelled nice, she just wanted to, you know, just to play with them. Nice smell, she wanted something nice in her house. Different interpretations as to why exactly Rachel wanted the Dudaim. But Rashi says Rachel was punished for this. How was she punished? Listen to this. Says Rashi in source number 18. At the very end. Ulafisha zilzala b'mishkav hatzadik. Since Rachel did not take seriously her night with Yaakov. She was mezalzel. She degraded the fact that she would spend the night with this tzaddik with Yaakov. Lo zachsa lihi kaver imo. She did not merit to be buried with him. So we learned that Leah was the one who was buried with Yaakov in Ma'aretz HaMachpelah. Why? This was a punishment for Rachel. This was a punishment because she gave up that night for these Dudaim. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you give up a night with this tzaddik, you give a night with Yaakov for Dudaim. For that, you don't deserve to be buried with Yaakov. Now, what's the punishment? How does that punishment, you know, fit at all? Is it is just a random punishment? I mean, it's pretty harsh. Was that a random punishment? Writes the Baal HaTurim, Lachein Yishkav Imach HaLayla. Writes the Baal HaTurim in source number 19. What is the gematria of Lachein? 100. Writes the Baal HaTurim, the gematria of Lachein is 100, which also equals Mida B'Mida. Mida b'mida. This punishment was mida keneged mida. The fact that Rachel could not be buried with Yaakov now, it wasn't just a random punishment. It wasn't just a harsh punishment. It was mida keneged mida that she gave up, that she wanted the Dudaim in place of spending the night with Yaakov. Why? What's the mida keneged mida? What's the connection here? So there's a Yerushalmi which sheds a little bit of light on what was going on here behind the scenes. And the Yerushalmi writes in source number 20. The Yerushalmi writes, "Vatomer elai tavo vayishkav imo b'lai lahu." So writes the Yerushalmi towards the end, "Hu levado haya yodea shelo alas al daita ella bishvil lehamid shvati." Listen to that language of the Yerushalmi. What was Leah thinking? What was Leah thinking? All Leah was thinking was that she wanted to be Ma'amid Shvatim. She wanted to build Shvatim. She wanted to build Klal Yisrael. That was her goal. That was her intention. And you see from this Yerushalmi that what's going on with Leah behind the scenes is that all Leah wants is L'Shem Shamayim. All Leah wants, she wants to have children. She wants to build. What? Why? Because of her? For herself? Because she wants children? Because she wants to be a mother? No. She wants them because she wants to build Klal Yisrael. L'Shem Shamayim, she wants a hand in building Klal Yisrael. She wants a hand in bringing more Kavod Shamayim into this world. Her sole kavanah, her sole intention was just to be Ma'amid Shvatim. That's why she did this. And as soon as Rachel said, I'll give you Yaakov tonight for the Dudaim, Leah said, of course. It wasn't even a question to her. Because her number one goal was to build Klal Yisrael. Her number one goal was L'Shem Shamayim. How can I be a part in building this special structure of Klal Yisrael? How can I be a part in that? That was her goal. That's why she gave it up so quickly. What about Rachel? We find Rachel was dying for children. Right? Rachel so badly wanted children. But what do we find after she had that first child? What did she name him? Yosef. What does the Torah say? Asaf Elokim Escher Pasi. What's the focus? Cher Pasi is my shame. I'm ashamed. Everybody else has children. So I'm ashamed. I don't have any children. Of course, no doubt that part of Rachel's intention was also to build the Shiftei Kah. Part of Rachel's intention was also to build Klal Yisrael. But you find a certain focus on herself. You find a certain focus that Rachel had that she felt badly. She was ashamed that she didn't have any children. That's part of the reason why she wanted children. Leah, from what it sounds like from the Torah, and it's true that Leah was not an Akara, although the Torah does describe that originally she was barren and Hashem rewarded her because of her second fiddle status that she had children. So Leah didn't have that Nisayon as much as Rachel. But at the same time, Leah's passion, Leah's desire, her sole desire, was really just to build Shvatim. She was a builder. She wanted to build something big. She wanted to build something great. She knew that coming from Yaakov, Yaakov was destined to be Ma'amid Shvatim. Yaakov was destined to build Klal Yisrael. And she wanted as great a part in that building as she could have. L'Shem Shamayim. Not for herself. All L'Shem Shamayim. Purely for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was her goal. Rav Shimshon Rofar Hirsch describes this a little bit in source number 21. We're not going to read the whole thing inside. But if you look where it's underlined, he writes, V'hisalsa laha'ariches erko hamalei shel tafkir ha'em li'yu'ud ha'isha ve'osher ha'nisui. That part of her focus was also not just on having children, but on being a dedicated wife to Yaakov. That's why she wanted his love so badly, not just because she felt slighted. She wanted to build an eternal bond. She wanted to create a marriage that was L'Shem U'L'Tiferes. She wanted to create a marriage, to create a relationship that brought Kavod Shamayim, that brought the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. That's what she wanted. It wasn't just a selfish thing that she wanted a relationship, that she wanted a companion. Of course, part of marriage is that. But part of marriage is greater. Part of marriage is bigger. Part of marriage is about building something, about building a family, about building a relationship that brings Kavod Shamayim into this world, about building a relationship that brings L'Shem, that's L'Shem U'L'Tiferes. That was her goal. Skipping down to the next underline, Be'avas Baila Hirasa Es Matarasa. With that love of her husband, she saw her goal in life. That's why she named her children all of these names that represented the first three children, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. She named them after her longing for her husband. It wasn't just purely emotional. Part of it surely was emotional, but it wasn't just emotional. It was because she felt that this was her tafkid in life. And when she saw that love that was greater to Rachel and less to her, she saw that something's missing in my tafkid. I'm not fulfilling my goal in life to the same extent. My goal is to build a marriage with Shem Multiferis. My goal is to build a marriage that brings Kavod Shamayim. I can't do that if he's spending all that time with Rachel, if he loves Rachel and I'm the neglected wife. And not only that, u'b'chol yelet ha'nolad la, and with every child that was born to her, kavsa lir'os nidbach nosaf lebinyan hayesod shalosa ava. Was another brick in this building, writes the Rav Hirsch. Every child was another brick in this building because that's what she was doing. She was building something. See, she wasn't just in it for the emotional component. She wasn't just in it for the relationship. She was in it to build something, both in terms of her marriage and in terms of her family. That's what Leah was. Leah was a builder. Leah was not focused on herself at all. She was a builder of Klal Yisrael. she wanted nothing more in life than to be with Yaakov, not just to be with Yaakov, but to build with Yaakov. To build a relationship, to build a marriage that was something special, and to build a family and a nation that was something special. That was her sole focus. And perhaps that's why Leah occupies that place in eternity as the main wife. And Yaakov came to recognize that at the end. In the beginning, he had that intense love for Rachel because of how special Rachel was. We're not giving the shir about Rachel, but she was incredible. And Yaakov recognized that, and that's why he was drawn to her, and he loved her more. But at the end of his life, he recognized that there was something special about Leah too that Rachel didn't have to the same extent. There was a passion to build. There was a passion for Kvod Shamayim. There was a passion to create something big, something that would bring more honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. That was her sole focus. And he realized that while Rachel, I'm sure, had that focus as well, it wasn't as strong as Leah. Leah was unique in this aspect. There's an amazing, amazing medrash. When I saw this medrash, it blew my mind. But an amazing medrash. Listen to this medrash. Medrash Rabbah, in source number 22, writes, so powerful, that night, after they were married, Yaakov and Leah, so they were together that night, and then in the next morning, the Torah describes that Yaakov saw that it wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. V'hinehi Leah. So, you could imagine a confrontation in the morning. Yaakov wasn't very happy. Comes the Medrash, in Bereishis Rabbah, and writes, V'kol ha'ahu laila, hava tzavach la'racha v'hi anyale. The whole night, what was he calling her? Rachel. He thought she was Rachel. He was calling her Rachel, and what did she respond? Yes, honey. Right? She responded, I'm Rachel. Sure, yes. What can I get you? She didn't say, no, you got my name wrong. No, I'm Leah. She went along with it. But Safra, v'hinehi Leah. In the morning, he wakes up, it's light, he sees that she's Leah. Amar lo, ma ramiyasa bas ramah. He says, you're a sneak just like your father's a sneak. You're a trickster just like your father. La balayla have a karina Rachel v'at honestly. Last night, what did I call you? The whole night I was calling you Rachel, and what did you? And you answered me. How could you do that? And we learned about this earlier, that this disturbed Yaakov so much, this bothered him. It grated on his senses. He was an ish emes. The whole night you tricked me. The whole night I'm calling you Rachel, and you just answered to it. You didn't respond that you weren't Rachel. How could you do that? What did Leah say back to Yaakov? Amra Leah. So Leah responds. Listen to this. Isapar deleisle talmidim. Every Rebbe has a Talmud. Every teacher has a student. Says Leah. Lo kacha yetzaveach lecha avuch Esav v'at ani Leah. There's someone else here who tricked their father. Who was that? Yaakov. She said, I've learned this trick from you. You tricked your father. Who? Right? Powerful. So now, but it's not just that the woman just, you know, got it. That's part of it. But listen to this. What's going on here? What's going on here? She wasn't just saying, you know, you did it, so I did it. She wasn't just saying, you know, you also tricked your father. Why did Yaakov trick Yitzchak? Again, it was Rivka's idea, but Yaakov went along with it. Why did he trick Yitzchak? Because he wanted to build Klal Yisrael. And Rivka knew that he was the one who was going to build Klal Yisrael. It wasn't just Stam, he wanted a bracha. It wasn't just a Friday night bracha, Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Lechim Menashe. This was something Yitzchak was giving over the legacy. He was giving over the Birkas Avraham. Yaakov needed that bracha to build Klal Yisrael, L'shem Shamayim, L'shem Ulutiferes. That's why he tricked him. That's why Rivka gave him that idea, and that's why Yaakov went along with it. And what does Leah say to him? Not just, I got you. Not just I upped you one, but Leah is telling him, I am doing the same thing. The same reason why you tricked your father. I tricked you for the same reason. Because there's nothing more than I want than to build Shiftei Ka. There's nothing more than I want than to build Klal Yisrael. That's what I want. You see, it's unbelievable. This was Leah. And I think perhaps that's why at the end of the day, and it took Yaakov a lot of time to come to grips with this, but at the end of his life, he recognized this is what she was all about. And in reality, that's what he was about also. But because Rachel was so special, he was blinded to this meaning. He was blinded to this. Now, why was it? Why didn't he realize? How come he didn't see this to begin with? So I want to add one little thing, but this will conclude. You know, if we're saying that Leah was really a builder, That's what she was. She was a builder of a relationship. She was a builder of a marriage. She was a builder of a family and a builder of a nation. You know, builders, it's not that glamorous. Building something is not that glamorous. Little kids like to see worker men. They like to see construction workers. For most of us, construction workers aren't that glamorous. We just want them to get the job done, and then we're going to have the nice fancy office building and everybody in their fancy suits. That's what we want. The construction workers are just there to put all the pieces together, behind the scenes, quietly, not with so much of the pomp and circumstance. Writes the Zohar, in source number 23, what was Leah all about? The kol avdoi de Leah b'iskasya inu. Everything about Leah was hidden. Everything about Leah was quiet. She wasn't a person that was in the limelight. She wasn't a person that wanted the honor. She wasn't a person that was all about the me, getting more attention. And in fact, we find earlier, how does Torah first describe Leah? She was the gedolah. She was the older daughter. Very often, the oldest child, the firstborn, is the one in the forefront, is the most powerful one, is the most famous one. They're the one who has that firstborn status. You look at the psychological studies, firstborns are very often successful in life. Leah was the gedolah, but she had a certain sneeze to her. She had a certain regalness that was quiet. She didn't want the kavod. She didn't want the honor. She didn't want the limelight. That's why, explains the Zohar, her death is not described by the Torah. Rachel's death is described. Leah's death was hidden. Not only that, but where is Leah buried? In a cave. In Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Hidden away. Where is Rachel buried? Out on the road. Beis Lechem. You pass right by it. Not in a cave. Not hidden. Because Rachel was more open. Rachel was out there. Rachel was the popular wife. She was the famous one. She was the spokeswoman. Leah was the builder. She was behind the scenes. She was quiet. In fact, the Reb Chaim Paltiel, one of the Rishonim, explains that one of the reasons, according to some commentaries, that her eyes were soft, going back to that description, Eine Leah Rakos. Why was that? Because he said, actually, Leah was more beautiful than Rachel. But her father, because she was so beautiful, her father hid her. He hid her away in darkness, in a cellar somewhere. So when she came out, her eyes were sensitive to the light. So we see also this idea of the tznius, this idea of being hidden. Leah's all about the hidden. That's why Yaakov didn't recognize it. Yaakov didn't see it his whole life. He didn't recognize it. He didn't see it. She told it to him right that next morning after they got married. But it didn't sound like it didn't really sink in. He didn't really appreciate it until the end. Vayishtachu Yisrael al Rosh Hamita. So as much as Leah was the neglected wife, as much as she was the second fiddle, as much as the Torah describes her, relatively speaking, as the snua, we see that she was the real builder. Not the glamorous, not the one who was on the front pages, not the one who needed all the honor, but the one who recognized, I'm here for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm here to build a marriage, I'm here to build a relationship, I'm here to be a dedicated wife, and I'm here to build a family and to build Klal Yisrael, because that's what's going to bring honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't need the honors. I don't need the headlines. I do my things quietly. I do everything in a hidden way. That's what I'm all about. And Yaakov eventually came to recognize that by Yishtachu Yisrael al Rosh Hamita. Thank you for coming. It's Hashem. Next week we'll discuss another one of the wonderful women of Tanakh.